Okay.
Let's start. We are in Pasuk Chav Zayin. And this describes what happens after the sons of Eli sin, and after Eli tried to rebuke them to no avail, and after they did not do tshuva. So, Vayavu Ish Elokim El Eli, the man of God came to Eli, Perek Beis Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayavu Ish Elokim El Eli, the man of God came to Eli, Vayomi Lavi, said to him, Kol Amar Hashem, this is what God said, Aniglo Niglesi Abeis Avicha, I revealed myself to the house of your forefather, B'yosam B'mitzrayim L'beis Paro, when they were in Egypt in the house of Paro, in other words, subservient to Paro. So I translate this pasuk like most Mefarshim interpreted, which is that it's a statement. Kodesh Baruch Hu is coming via the Ish Elokim to Eli and saying to him, I already revealed myself to your father's house, to the house of the Kohanim, way back in Egypt. The thing is that the Malbim says that can't be Pashim Shah in the pasuk. It's really a stretch, because generally the language of Haniglo Niglesi is the language of a question. Albeit the Mefarshim don't know what question the Ish Elokim is asking here, but it sounds like it's a question. So this is the way the Malbim interprets the pasuk. Vayovavo Ish Elokim Eli, the man of God came to Eli and said, Vayomei Lavi, said to him, Kol Amar Hashem, is what God said. Haniglo Niglesi Obeis Avicha, did I reveal myself to your father's house? Biosam Mitzrayim Lebesis, when they were, and revealed myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt. Lebes Paro, do you think I revealed myself to your father's house to go and talk to Paro? In other words, do you think that you as Kohanim have just simple tasks? No, you're not Kohanim for Goyim, you're for Kohanim for Klal Yisrael, and therefore you have to lead exemplary, exalted, better lives than everybody else. So the question going to Malvim is, do you think that you're a stam, like priest of Avodah Zorah, who can do whatever they want and enjoy the position of corruption or position of indulgence which comes with the priesthood? No, you're different, you're special, you're holy, as we're about to say in the next couple of psukim. Who was the Ish Elokim? So most Mefarshim say, the Rabbah said it's our old friend Pinchas, possibly. But most Mefarshim say, no, that it's not Pinchas, it's Elkanah himself. And of course Elkanah is the one who can come, Mida Keneged Mida, to Eli and rebuke him, because Eli's kids went astray, and they were looking for their own aggrandizement and own honor, whereas of course Elkanah's child Shmuel was the one who was going to take over, because he was humble and devoted and dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Elkanah was the one to do that. Elkanah is the Ish Elokim, and here we see Elkanah becoming a Navi. There's another thing here, which Malvim explains why it wasn't Pinchas, is because Eli came from the house of Isamar. Isamar was one of the two sons of Aaron. And Pinchas came from the house of Elazar, the other son of Aaron. So therefore, the Kohuna Gedola was now going to pass with Eli's punishment from the house of Isamar, household to which Eli was affiliated, to the house of Elazar, which was Pinchas' household. So it would look like Pinchas was doing his own, you know, was looking for his own honor if he would come and be the one to rebuke Shmuel. So to rebuke Eli. So therefore the job is given not to Pinchas, but rather to Elkanah. A very interesting thing which Rabag brings down, which seems to be borne out in the next parak, is that Eli, we know, was a Navi himself. So if Eli was a Navi himself, why did the Nevuah not come to him directly? Why didn't Hashem speak to him directly? So Rabag says Eli didn't get the Nevuah because of his advanced age. Old men don't get Nevuah. It's a very strange thing. We'll have to see him talk about later in the next parak. But Nevuah obviously requires some talent or some powers which a young person has which an older person does not have. What? Well, we know in the old days they didn't age really that way. They didn't have that kind of aging process which we have today. As a matter of fact, it says that the first person to look old when he got old was Yitzchak. Was Avraham rather after Yitzchak was born, because people couldn't tell them apart. But until then, even, you know, when people got old, they didn't become, you know, have a white beard even, and they probably didn't become more frail at the same rate which people do nowadays. Okay, pasuk chav ches and pasuk chav tes. The Maravim learned these two psukim as encompassing the two purposes which Kohanim have. Kohanim serve as our agents and as the agents of God. That's called in the Talmudic parlance, Shluchei Didon, our emissaries, Ushluchei Drachmana, and the emissaries of God. They serve as both. So in Pasuk Chav Ches we find that Uvachar Osomi Kol Shitei Yisrael, and God chose the Kohanim from all the tribes of Israel, Li for myself, Lichohain to be a priest, La'alos HaMizbechi to go up on my altar, Ulaktir Kthoros to sacrifice the incense, Laseis Eifo Lefanai to bear the Eifo, the breastplate in front of me. That's what the Kohanim as being the emissaries, the agents of God. On the other hand, Ved Nola Beis Avicha, I gave to your father's house, as Kol Yishei B'nei Yisrael, all the sacrifices, all those things which go to the fire on the part of the Jewish people. So that looks at Kohanim as being our agents, our emissaries. Similarly, why are you kicking away my korbanos? In other words, the house of Eli was making light of the power of korbanos. They were making light of their part as shluchei drachmon, the emissaries of God. Uva minchasi, and in my mincha, the other types of korbanos, asher tzivisi ma'on, which I commanded in order to create a dwelling place for my divine presence. And that's looking at how the house of Eli, again, did not fulfill their purpose as the emissaries of God. They didn't treat the korbanos properly in the way which were bringing Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence down to Jewish people. Just a minute, let me just pause, finish pausing. V'atach beidus banecha mimeni. On the other hand, you, Eli, are responsible for a disruption also in the role of your children, of Kohanim, as the emissaries of the Jewish people. How so? You gave your children honor from me. In other words, you gave them preference to me, to take the meat first for them before it was brought as a korban. Mereishis kol minchas Yisrael, from the beginning, from the first of all the menachos, of all the korbanos brought for Klal Yisrael, le'ami, for my nation. In other words, that which my nation brought to me, all their korbanos, you use them for your own purpose, not to be their agent, to bring them closer to God by their avoda, but rather you use them to advance your own self-aggrandizement by taking the big portions and by delaying them when necessary, etc., etc. So you didn't act properly in either of your two roles. And that's why you're going to get punished. Yes, Dr. Therefore, Pasuk Lamed, Num Hashem, God states, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, and here, of course, Elokei Yisrael is a transition name. Whenever transitions occur, we talk about God as being Elokei Yisrael, as being the God of all of Israel, with the master plan. Amar Amarti, I have stated, Beischa, your household, Beis Avicha, this is what I stated previously, your household, Beis Avicha, your father's household, Yitzhaku Fanei Ad Olam, I intended that they should go before me forever, Nu'um Hashem, in the name of God, or in the name, so too is the word of God, Chalilai, now, Chas V'Shalom, I should do such a thing, Ki Mechabdai Achabei, because I will honor those who give honor to me, Uvalizai, those who make a mockery of me, Yekol, they will be removed, displaced. And here Rashi says, goes in to great length in saying that originally Bnei Yisomer is supposed to get, and they didn't get it, they're not going to get it because of this Maisa, and it's going to go to Bnei Elazar. And he says here, Ki Mechabdaya Chabed, on the left-hand side, fourth line down in Rashi, as Bnei Pinchas, I'm going to give honor to those who honored me, the children of Pinchas. Shekivah showed the Shittim, he honored me in Shittim in the desert when he slaughtered the Cosby and the Zimri. This taka happened in the days of Shlomo. When the Beis HaMikdash was built by Igor Shlomo of Yosar, Shlomo kicked out of Yosar, was from the house of Eli, Miyos Kohen Lashem, then he was no longer Kohen for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather like Hashem said to us, really, that they'll be taken off of the Kuna Gdola. And Tzadok became a Kohen Gadol instead of him. Pinchas, he was from the children of Pinchas, because that's how the lineage is defined us in Divrei Yomim. Okay, so at this point, Eli begins the process of going down out of the picture. What are the three, and now we're going to curse him with three curses, or the Nach is going to curse him with three curses. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. Hinei Yomim Bohim, days are coming. Now, these days are not coming imminently. According to most Mefarshim, all the punishments we're about to learn only devolved upon the Bnei Eli and the times of David and Shlomo HaMelech. Much later in Jewish history. Not much, but significantly later. According to the Malbim, who has a proof from a line in the next parak, one of the punishments started earlier. But there are three punishments here, and we're about to describe them. Says the Navi in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Hinei Yomim Bohim, days are coming sooner or later, whenever those days are. V'gadati, and I will cut off. Ezarach Zeruacha, I will chop off your arm, in other words, your strength. Vezroa Beis Avicha, and the strength of your father's household. Miyosakem Beisachem, there will be no elders in your house. What does elders mean here? Leaders, or Talmidei Chachamim, right. So, punishment number one, no elders in the household. Punishment number two, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vibatata Tzar Ma'om, and you will see narrowly, or you will be receive little reward for all your work in the Ma'on, in the dwelling place of Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the Beis HaMikdash. B'chosha Yitav Yisrael, despite the fact that everything will go good for the rest of the Jews, for you, things are going to go bad. And there will be no old man. Here it becomes literal. Literally, there will be no old men. Nobody will reach an old age in your household all the days. So, the clothes didn't, although they're very strong clothes, they didn't devolve immediately. And it's not clear why they didn't devolve immediately. I would like to give two svaras this evening. One I'll give you now, and the other wait a few psukim to give you. The one here now, Pasha Pshad, is that Eli's chus. Eli obviously was a big tzaddik, at least at some point in his life. So therefore his merit helped assist Klai Yisrael from avoiding this, Klai Yisrael. His household, the Kohanim, helped them assist avoiding this fate for a while until three or four generations had passed, until the goodness of Eli's lifetime no longer played a factor, no longer played a role. That's one interpretation of why the punishment didn't come right away. I'll give you another interpretation when we hit Pasuk Lamed Hei Lamed Vav. In the meantime, the Navi goes on and describes even greater tragic essence to each of one of these punishments. V'ish l'achris m'lecha me'im izbechi. Even though your children will not be elders, I'm never going to allow them to go away from serving by the altar, by the Mizbeach. Why? L'cha lo seseinecha. To make your eyes, it's a colloquialism. To destroy your eyes, disappoint your eyes, okay. To bring sorrow to your soul. In other words, I'm going to leave you in the Beis HaMikdash. And you're going to suffer because you're going to see everybody else being successful. And you, it's just going to be tough luck. Okay? And, maybe you could get another job. At least you don't have to, maybe you have to watch while you're there, but try and get another job, try and get another position. So, that's the point. The mom says, for each, I'm getting through backwards. I just explained, let me start from the impulse again. Scratch that mumbling I just did. V'ish la'achris l'chamim is b'chi means, so if you can't be a Kohen, what do you do? Become a lawyer. Make some money. No, you guys are going to be poor Kohanim and you won't be able to find any unemployment. That's what he's saying. V'ish la'achris l'chamim is b'chi, even though you won't be successful in the Beis HaMikdash, that's all you'll be suitable to do for doing the House of Eli. And that'll cause you chaos and senecha, that'll cause you anguish because your eyes will be suffering because you'll see all the Kohanim around you who are driving their caddies to come to the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, and you're driving your 82 Chevy Nova, so that's all the punishment number two, aggravating the punishment. And finally, the Chol Marbis Eidneh Beis Chayamusu Hanoshim, most rabbis will die as men. In other words, if they die very young, it's tragic. Well, not as tragic. If they die, like when they reach maturity, when they reach puberty, adolescence, then that's really tough. So he's saying that they're not going to die right away in their youth. No. They'll survive into, quote-unquote, well, it's not middle age, but so they became old enough that it causes a tremendous sense of loss each time one of the Bnei Eli is going to die. So it's going to make all these components make the punishment that much worse.
What's the basis of that perish?
Which perish?
That's what will be the negative.
And I believe it's the Malbim. Not the Malbim?
You think that there'd be some joy in working
with people. Yeah, it's the Malbim. It starts on the page before. Yeah. Okay, fine. But he's asking on the first phrase. So it's in the Malbim, the previous page, right at the bottom of the previous page. He says that. Okay. V'zel ha'oz. What's the sign that all this is going to happen? That will come when this family will come upon your two children. El Chofni Pinchas, concerning Chofni and Pinchas, b'yom echad yimusu shnei, they both die on the same day. So that'll be a sign that the punishment will come about. Now the Bible says that the third of the three punishments, the one they would die early, actually started from the day that Chofni and Pinchas were killed in war. So that's a sign that one of the punishments will begin being fulfilled then, and says the Malbim, that's the punishment of being killed for sin, because sin is such a powerful thing. So that time they start all being killed off because of sin. In the meantime, of course, Vakimosili Kohen Ne'aman, I'm going to set up for myself a trustworthy Kohen, Kasheb Levavi, as I have intention in my heart, Uvanavshi, and in my intellect, in my soul. In his heart and in his mind, he will always do my will. When he still buys him, I'm going to build for him a trustworthy household. Is going to walk before my anointed ones all the time. Who are my anointed ones? The kings. The kings will always be directed by the Kohanim Gedolim. Now, the truth is that there are a couple of ways but in which they did it, but one of the ways is that when the Kohen had a question, when the king had a question, he used to summon the Kohen, and you know, they used to read the Urim V'Tumim. Right? Everybody remember what the Urim V'Tumim used to light up, and they used to give them answers. So that's how they used to know what was going on.
This is the most powerful thing to think about, putting yourself in the front of the show.
Yes.
Here he's talking for the first
time. Mr. Merzel, show you again tonight. Thanks. Dr. Spell is knowing my coffee
given
person.
Up Ellie.
Yeah.
He's given up his own son.
Caffeine. What?
Elkanah has given up his own son.
Yeah.
Put him in the hands of Ellie. With the underlying assumption. Yes. So, like, put him with the yeshiva, you could do a better job than
right.
Me. And then just have to come and give this before.
It's a very powerful thing. And the truth is, this Nevoah, you know, I've kind of made it clinical. But, at least, you know, I haven't made it very emotional. But, you know, this is awesome. This is the most terrible, terrible curse I think we find ever in Tanakh. I mean, at least for a Jew. What's going on here? Eli, why does Eli deserve this? And even if his kids, Chofni and Pinchas, deserve it, why does Eli himself deserve it? It's a very, very harsh thing. Extraordinarily harsh. Yes. But the contrast between Shmuel and Yitzhak, it's like Chofni and Pinchas and Shmuel, right? It's interesting thing. Yeah, it certainly seems to be, the Navi seems to be playing the two off each other. Chofni and Pinchas is a God to Shmuel. I'm not sure if it's done in order to degrade Chofni and Pinchas more or in order to praise Shmuel more. I'm not sure what the intent is, but you're certainly right. The Navi is intentionally drawing the contrast between the two here. It's quite blatant. Yeah.
There has to be a need that can make a need here. In other words, their actions must have been such a chill on Hashem.
Yeah, well, that's what. That's what I want. Right. I wanted to mention that. I want to mention a few things in that respect about how it could possibly be that the Avera is so great as to warrant such a terrible, terrible punishment. And you've expressed already that it's clear that it's a great chait and a great chil Hashem. But the thing is, as great a chil Hashem as it might be, it's still the biggest chil Hashem in history. Find Chofni and Pinchas was. We weren't there, but it doesn't seem like it's that terrible. You know what I mean? It's bad, but not that terrible. It's that all generations forever after should suffer from the sin of Chofni and Pinchas. Bear in mind, all Kohanim for all generations, at least, in the time of the Gemara, this was still known to be a valid curse. They're all suffering from this lack of from the klala, from the curse which they got. So, I think that there's an important thing to learn from this pasuk itself, which might help us. I want to use a couple of keys here. First of all, in the pasuk itself, what's the last line? V'salech lifnei mishichi kol yamim. This new Navi, which I'm going to set up, which obviously Shmuel, is going to go before... This new Kohen, which I'm going to set up, which is going to be a Kohen which is going to serve kings. Now, when was this Kohen actually set up? We know this Kohen came to take over from the house of Eli was from the house of Tzadok. So, it's from the house of Tzadok. Was Tzadok himself. And this happened... When did this Tzadok take over? At the time of the revolt of Adonio, the beginning of Malachim. Adonio misnasei lomar niemloch. So at that time, when David HaMelech found out, this is still when David HaMelech was alive, that Adonio was behind the rebellion and all that, and then he told Shlomo what to do with these people upon his death. And bottom line is that Adonio's Kohen Abiyasa was kicked out, and a new Kohen Tzadok was brought in. Now, according to most of the information, the Klolos all started from that point. When Abiyas was kicked out, Tzadok was brought in. According to the Malbim, the death started earlier, because we see here that Vizeliel Choros and Pasuk Lamadal, that seems that from the time Chofni and Pinchas is the killing and being killed in battle, from there on in, at least the punishment of dying young began. So, but in any event, when was the punishment fully brought to the fore, with the other clothes as well, the poverty and the incapacity to find another line of job, another line of work? So when Shlomo HaMelech became king. And I'd like to posit to you that at this point a new kahuna was required. A new kahuna which was linked to the concept of Malchus. And what else happened at that time? I'm Shlomo. Changed in time, Shlomo. From the Mishkan to the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, not from Shiloh. Shiloh was destroyed some years earlier, from Nov. So I saw a beautiful pshat this week, and I think I saw it in Rav Zevi. What's the difference between a Mishkan and a Mikdash?
One is the mint and one is the temple.
Good, but what's the difference in the words?
Oh.
We talk about this last week?
Must
have spoken. Okay, I must have said it last week. Sorry, I must have said it last week then. But in any event, so Mishkan to Mikdash is a change. It's okay, even if I said it, it's good. Yeah, Mishkan to Mikdash is a change. That Mishkan means to come close, to dwell together. Mikdash means to separate, to distance. Okay, that's one change that happened in time of Shlomo. Second change that happened in the same of Shlomo. We changed from Shoftim to Melachim. Now, no matter what, how you slice it, at the time, not to Shlomo, David and Shlomo, at that time when the monarchy came into being. Now, no matter how you slice it, a shofet is a more democratic institution. It's not autocratic, right? A shofet was really actually more of a judge, right? So a melech became a more authoritarian institution based, if nothing else, on yira, on fear of the king. Now, for the fear of the government, everybody would swallow their friend alive. So there was a change from Shoftim to Melachim. And finally, at that time, there was a change also from the house of Eli. And the house of Eli had what Avera? But one of them. Which is described in very, very stark terms in the Chumash, in the Navi, last week. What one was that? Women, right? The women, they were preventing the women from going home, and the pasuk regards as being so terrible that it's as if they had relations with these women. Remember it said that last week? So who's taking over for the Kohen Gadol? A scion of what house of the kahuna? Pinchas, who was against that taiva, who went against it. So I want to tell you, postulate the following, that way back when, many, many weeks ago, when we spoke about Shoftim, we said that the period of Shoftim was a time of great test with taiva. Because all the Canaanim were in the land, and it was a terrible, terrible test because they were so, you know, parts, so priestistic, so immoral. Now, at this time, after the period of Shoftim had failed, new measures are needed. Basically, the period of Shoftim was one grand failure, one mind-boggling, grand, terrible failure. No Shoftim ever succeeded in fully, and permanently causing tshuva. At best, it lasted until the end of their lifetime. Jewish democracy had failed. So therefore, now they're moving to a monarchy. Now, all these things happen at the same time. And also, the changeover from Mishkan to Mikdash is similar. Mishkan is a sense of familiarity. God is our neighbor. Mikdash is a sense of awe. God is holy. He's supreme. He's Kodesh. Shoftim is democratic. He's together with the nation. A king is autocratic. He's aloof because he must be the leader of all of them. And finally, in terms of B'nai Eli and Pinchas, by Eli, things relax. Oh, it's even a little bit, you know, free love, so to speak, according to the Navi. By Pinchas, there's no such thing. Of much stricter, rigid parameters were going to be placed on the Jewish people at this point. And that's why then the Klal of Eli started. This is all one long transition to the monarchy, to the Kuna Beis Pinchas, and to the Mikdash. And part of the transition is to take the Kuhuna away from Beis Yisamar to Beis Pinchas to Beis Elazar. Now, Shmuel was the bridge of this gap, and of course that's why the Sefer is called Sefer Shmuel. So, this I think addresses partially, only partially though, why the Avera was so terrible, because in context, this is a very sensitive time. And obviously the Beis HaMikdash is a very sensitive place. And obviously Kohanim are very sensitive people. Sensitive means that if they run afoul, it's much more devastating. So that's why it was necessary at this point in time to punish Eli's children in such an unbelievable way. Seems to be completely out of proportion because there was a special sensitivity bred in to the Kohanim, to the Mishkan, to the Shoftim, vis-a-vis the kid versus the kings. Everything was going on here in a metaphysical level. And the punishment only became fully in effect when the children of Eli no longer served any purpose when the children of Eli and the Mishkan never served any purpose because it was already a melech. And the melech is going to bring a new derech of enhanced yira into the situation. Is that clear? More or less clear? So their sin was particularly heinous because of when and who committed it.
Wasn't there a big division?
Yes, but not between Kuna and Shoftim.
And so, consequent thing that who's talking here to Eli? Malach?
Elkanah.
No, when he came in
yes, well, Elkanah.
Yes, Elkanah's talking to him? He was a Navi?
Yeah, before I should say.
But then
he told him that the kahuna that went on... Right, that's what I'm saying. So I'm postulating that because we need Pinchas' anti-taiva movement to come in and take over. By that, what are you trying to say?
Well, I'm trying to say that it was almost like here we are going back and trying to join up again the kahuna with the monarchy, but I'm saying it always was supposed to be entirely separated, no?
You mean it wasn't supposed to be the same person?
Let me ask you this. Wasn't supposed to be the Kohen Gadol in those days, let's say even the time of Shlomo, was he did he have to answer to it? Was he says, I don't have to answer to you, I have to answer to
it. Seems that he had to answer to the king. He had to provide the king with services and answer to the king.
Yes,
sir. No, it's beyond the king, yeah.
He was number one.
Right.
And that Kohen could be Moir B'Malchus.
Right. And he was told, Bisalach B'nei Mashiach, go before my king. So the Yonasan says, even Yisalach B'nei Mashiach, Koyomi means be his Eved. Right? Bishamish Kodem Mashiach Koyomai, should serve before the king. So in any event, at this point, clearly what we're learning is that there's a linkage between the change in the pattern of Kuna, the change in the pattern of government, and the change in the locality of the conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Mishkan to Mikdash. This is a new and heightened sense of Yira. And therefore, anything which went, since there was a transition going on, in a transition, many deeds are far more significant than they actually are. And that's why Chofni and Pinchas are punished so dramatically for the deeds they committed. Okay? Where do we find Shoftim?
Yeah. That
goes on Shoftim, right? On Eli. Oh, yeah, the children of Eli. Nobody's actually going to live a long time. Eli himself lived a very long time, lived to 98.
So he's talking about
that his children will be
put there. That's
right. That's what she gave Shmuel. Yeah, Nebuah like that, yes. I mean, Elkanah. Okay? There's another thing which we're going to bring up later, but I want to bring it up now. Which was, you see that this is very true throughout the history of the Kuna, because how were Kohanim chosen? Not Kohanim per se, specifically Levim, but how were Levim chosen to be special to God? When did they take over from the Bchoros?
Well, the
Levim
says that I'm
chosen. As a result of what affair? Cheta Ego. In other words, when the Cheta Ego, when Levim came, and they, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mila Hashem Elai, V'espui Elor Kopenei Levi, and they went and they killed all the people who worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's when Levites were taken. So I think there's an interesting thing here, that was a unique time, very sensitive time in Jewish history. And whoever grabbed the initiative then, even though the mitzvah they did was relatively minor, they were zoicha for all generations. They grabbed on. There was like almost a crease in time, which if you grab onto that crease, you can change the course of your destiny. You see what I'm saying? Whereas according here, it's the exact opposite. That's the similarity. That here, even though B'nai Eli, the Chofni and Pinchas were not that terrible. Bad, but not so bad. But there was kind of like this crimp in time, unique transition period, where things are magnified and amplified, and all Averis are much, much more dramatic, and all mitzvahs are much more dramatic than the rest of history. Yes, history doesn't work every day is the same like any other day. There are certain days which are special, which are unique, and those are days where things when even relatively minor transcendent tasks, jobs can take on cosmic significance, either for good or for bad. So that's why Eli's children were punished so severely, because this was a time, a major time, when they should have been sent, and they should have done the right thing, and they didn't, or vice versa. Not that they should have sensed, but at least we know that Avera was so terrible that they're probably only because. I said it well the first time. This is a very dangerous time, and therefore they were very, very grave sakana. Yes.
But wasn't also it seems to be that maybe that's why he was punished by that, but because it's his responsibility,
right,
to see that his children go in the death. Eli himself was probably very, very
influential.
Well, not only that, but I'm sure that he treated him. What I've learned so far is that and sort of didn't stay. I'm surprised to bring them back.
The Navi's going to fault him for that in the next parak. We're going to get around back to that. We'll see. Okay, let's start. Let's do pasuk lav vav. V'hoyad will be kol hanoyser beischa. Anybody's left in your house at the time Shlomo Melech, Yishtachvaso, come to bow down. In the base, Amitzah Shlaguras Kesef for a small coin of silver, Vekika Lechem and a small loaf of bread. Vamai, it'll say, Sofcheni, no, include me, please. Elachas HaMukunos to one of the other groups of priests. Lechem Pasalim, so at least should have some bread to eat. So totally destructive was this Kor Klova. Okay. And the Pasuk Peis, beginning of Pasuk Gimel. Vanashmu Meshoyses Hashem. Now, before we start, the Abarbanel, you know the Abarbanel? I thought the Abarbanel was ever, I must have told you, the Abarbanel was kicked out of the Beis Medrash in Yisrael. Really? You know that? Hi, how could the Abarbanel be kicked out of the Beis Medrash? He's been dead for many years. His farm were kicked out of the Beis Medrash. Yisrael. Both farm. Yeah. Because he says, even though the Gemara says that David and Bathsheba didn't sin, they did sin. It's not shaykh to say they didn't sin. That's the Abarbanel. So they kicked him out for saying that. I don't know. Maybe they do Mechelim, but in the meantime, he didn't ask Mechila, so they kicked him out. Tonight I'll show you a different reason why they should have kicked him out. So, what?
They overlooked this one.
Anyway, found him, probably in the 1950s or 60s, I don't know. He's been out for a while. I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know. Okay, it's hard to read about him. They're very wordy. It's very, they're also written in a kind of a chlamydia. Okay, in the meantime, now we're going to get to the Shmuel Novi's, now in Paragim, we're going to get to Shmuel Novi's first Nevuah. Now, the Abarbanel says, from this parak, since you see that Shmuel is very young, and nonetheless he got Nevuah, it shows that the Rambam is not writing. You don't need careful, this my wife told me this morning when I was preparing, you don't need careful preparation to become a Novi. So Rambam says you have to be a Chacham, a Gibor, an Ashir, wise, strong, rich, you know. So it sounds like all these things, that's to be a Kohen Gadol. To be a Navi, excuse me. I say Kohen Gadol, to be a Navi. But here, Shmuel was just a little kid. You can't say he was all these things. So therefore, Barbanel wants to say that you don't have to be all these things in order to become a good Navi. You can get a Nevuah just out of the clear blue sky, and that's what happened to Shmuel. So Malbim is not that impressed with Barbanel, although he doesn't mention Barbanel by name. And the Malbim says, essentially, that in the first three psukim in this parak, the Navi is describing in detail why Shmuel was indeed suitable to be a Navi, and why Hashem did reveal himself to him, and that there was some preparation to become a Navi on his part. Udva vanashmu paragimu pasgav. Vanashmu m'shayis is Hashem, the young lad Shmuel was serving God, lifnei Eli, before Eli, v'davar Hashem haya yakar b'yom mehem, the word of God was precious in those days, lo ein chazon nifrat, visions were not widespread and disseminated to a great audience. So the truth is, at that time they probably didn't have Tanakh yet, right? So Shmuel wrote his own sefer. So obviously they were had very little access to reading materials. Now, Vayiba Yuba Bayomo, it came to be on that day, the Eli Shochev Mimkomo, and Eli was lying in a spot. Veina vechelu keos, and his eyes became dark. V'loyu chaliros, and he couldn't see properly anymore. Stop on these two psukim for a second. The Malbim says that there's six milas enumerated in the first two psukim, which a Navi must have, and which a Navi did have. The six are, in Pasuk Aleph, back on the first page in the handout, so I was getting confused. We're mentioning this chus of Shmuel. Why Shmuel is suitable for Nevuah? Because it says in Pasuk Aleph that he was Meshoreis Es Hashem, he was serving God. It also mentions why Shmuel should get the Nevuah, because there was not very much Nevuah prevalent in the Klal Yisrael at the time. Now this seems to be the exact opposite. If there's not a Nevuah prevalent, it should be much harder to get a Nevuah. So the Malbim learns, and this is the Malbim systematically throughout his farm, he learns that there's a marshal to be made. If you have a river which is straining its banks and exploding at the seams, the water really wants to burst out. And you drill a small, and there's a small furrow, dig a small furrow away from the river, or if you dam it up and dig a little hole in the everything will burst out very quickly, right away. So too, very interesting, in Chazon Nifrat B'Yisrael, there was very little Nevuah at the time. And there was the pressure of the Nevuah, imagine, you know, a reservoir of water behind the Hoover Dam, right? It was building and building and building that reservoir of Nevuah and had nowhere to go. Immediately, Shmuel is even the least bit prepared. All the water of Nevuah starts going down to Shmuel. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give Nevuah. He wants to give Kedusha to the Klal Yisrael, but there has to be a minimum degree of worthiness. So Shmuel exemplifies that. And that's in the Psukim, that's in the Pusim, that's alluded to in that which Ein Chazon Nifrat. So in the first Pusim we have two specific explanations of why Shmuel should be a Navi. A, that he was constantly serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And B, that obviously if he got a Nevuah, it must mean that he has some special spark which allowed him to get some of the Kedusha which is lying in the world. So, which seems from here to be a finite amount of Kedusha. So those are the two things in Pasuk Aleph. Let's go now to Pasuk Beis. In Pasuk Beis, so the Navi tells us, Vayiva Yomahu, it came to pass on that day, Ve'eli Shochev, Eli was lying down, Mekomo in a spot. Ve'eno ve'chilu keos, and his eyes began to get dark. Lo yuchal liros, he can no longer see. So here the Bava says the two things which this Pasuk are telling us are, first of all, Eli was in decline at the time. Ve'eli, and the Bava learns out from the fact that Eli was shochei bin Mekomo. What does it mean, Eli shochei bin Mekomo? Of course, where else is he going to sleep? Not in his makom, he's going to sleep in somebody else's bed. It means that Eli no longer had the impetus, the drive, to go out and conquer things, and do things, and even to try and bring a Nevuah, because to get a Nevuah, you have to prepare yourself, at least according to the Rambam, not according to the Barbanel. And going and sleeping in his own household, he's not preparing himself for a mission as a Navi. And that's why he's deprived of the Nevuah comes from Yosef. And another thing, it says here in this Pasuk, in Pasuk Beis, which the Malbim brings down as another reason, that, I'm not sure exactly this ties in, but it says it was on the same day as the Nevuah which the Isha Elohim of Elkanah had. So therefore, it's clear that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Nevuah on the same day, it had a message to give. And the message which it had to give is that this gezer against Eli cannot be annulled. Just like if you say something twice, the Gemara tells the Shavuot as if you're taking a Shavuot, even if you didn't say, I'm taking a Shavuot, just say you're going to do something twice. So to hear the fact that Shmuel got a Nevuah the same day that Elkanah had a Nevuah to take to Eli means that this was a Nevuah meant to tell him in order to inform him that there's no turning back, that the gezerah is permanent. Okay? Yeah?
Maybe that was making, him will come. Yeah, instead of making an effort to counteract the
yes. Gave up, yeah. And that probably is true. In other words, he was defeated at this point. He didn't feel he had the power to do anything about it. Okay? Pasuk Gimel. V'ner Elokim terem yichobeh. And the candle of God had not yet become extinguished. Ushmul shochei becha, Hashem and Shmuel is lying in the sanctuary of God, asher shom aron Elokim, where the aron was, and there are a few difficulties in this pasuk. First of all, what's the ner Elokim? So most of Pashim say it's the menorah. And when did the last candle of the menorah burn to? When did it go out? As usual, they said it was a nace, it never went out. But when would it have gone out? In the morning. It was lit for the entire night, and then it would go out in the morning. That's the halacha. That it should be, the Beis HaMikdash should be lit all night. The menorah should have at least one candle burning all night. So if that's the case, Shmuel was lying there, and now looking at Terem Yechabeh, a few things, interpretations here. One is that Shmuel was involved in this light. And what does it mean, Shmuel was lying there, and the light was burning? He was contemplating, he was meditating, he was involved in thinking of those lofty thoughts in the Beis HaMikdash. One is pshat, he didn't go to sleep. The other pshat, he was involved in meditation. There's your third pshat, the Baal HaTurim, or the Tur, who says that, it's Chazal, the Radak. The Radak brings down that Ne'er Elokim Tamei Mechaveh is Eli. Eli was a candle. He was a light. He said not yet set, but he was setting. Eli was already saying. We saw on Pasuk Beis, Lo Yuchal Liros. What does Lo Yuchal Liros mean? Couldn't see, right? But how else could you take Lo Yuchal Liros and have visions? How long was getting Nevuah? Like the Rabbag said back when, he's too old. What does it mean he's too old? He can't make the effort to get Nevuah anymore. Because to make an effort, the Malvin says, requires a lot of, to make get Nevuah requires effort and meditation, a very deep and profound meditation. Without that, you can't get Nevuah. So Eli didn't have it anymore. He didn't have the drive, he didn't have the fervor, he didn't have the capacity to do it. But Shmuel still did. Ne'er Elokim, the other Ne'er Elokim is Yehoveh, is going down. Shmuel is coming up, yeah.
No, also, as far as the kingdom of Nevi'im. I mean,
yeah.
For that to be true, Masoreth is the kingdom of
Nevi'im. Right, he had
now
to teach him.
Entered the category of
yes, that's true, and that's going to be further on. Now, the other difficulty Mephoshim have in this passage, Buzz Gimel, is how in the world could Shmuel sleep where the Aron was? Where's the Aron? Where in the Mishkan?
The equivalent of the Kodesh.
The Kodesh Kodashim.
He's a Levi.
He's a Levi. He's not even allowed to go in there. A Kohen is only allowed to go in there once a year. How in the world could a Levi get into there and sleep there? Not so simple. So you should know, Chazal read the pasuk like this. Just look into the pasuk. V'ne'er Elokim Tamei Mechaveh Behechol Hashem Asher Shom Aron Elokim U'Shmo Shochev. V'ne'er Elokim and Nayaganat, where it was, in the sanctuary where the Aron was. And Shmuel is lying down somewhere else. In other words, you have to just put the punctuation in the proper place. You have to rearrange the order of the psukim. However, there are a couple of other interpretations here. The Rabbag learns that there was a lishka right outside where the Aron was, mamish outside the Sanct Kodesh Kodashim, and that's where Shmuel slept. On the side. Not the right there, not mamish inside, but on the side, that's where Shmuel slept. That's what the Rabbag learns. The Malbim learns, and this is very interesting, the Malbim learns two things. First of all, Shmuel was meditating on the Aron and on all of the lofty things in the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, as part of his training, as part of his regimen in order to become a Navi. Besides that, this was the time which was best. Everything was quiet, still. When does the Ner Hashem go out, the menorah? Right before dawn, right? Everything was quiet and still and peaceful and tranquil. This is the best time for Shmuel to meditate, to think, to try and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel's involved in all that at this time. That's what it means. Shmuel Shochev Beichal Hashem, in his mind's eye, he was living in that meditation about Heichal Hashem and about where that Ron Elohim is. And Vayikra Hashem El Shmuel Pasuk Dalet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called after Shmuel and said, Vayikra Hashem El Shmuel Vayomer, and Shmuel says, Hineni, here I am. So Shmuel thinks, who's calling out to me? He ran to Eli. Vayomer, Hineni ki karosli, here I am because you called me. Vayomer said, lo karosli, I didn't call you. Shuv, go back. Shchov, lie down. Vayelch vayishkov, and Shmuel went back and he lay down. What did Shmuel think? Why did he think it was Eli? I gotta tell you, it's amazing.
Presumably, it's a lower level of Nevuah. I mean, if you don't recognize immediately that Hashem's ordinance, it's like a lowest level, it's almost like a basketball.
Well, that's an interesting thing. The thing is, it doesn't seem that way here. Sorry. It seems that maybe this is what you mean to say, actually. A Nevuah takes place in the mind of a Navi. Now, although many Nevi'im are aware of the inspiration of the moment, in other words, if Navi Ruvain has, Ruvain Navi has a Nevuah, so many Nevi'im around the world can be aware of the Nevuah as well. It takes place in all of their minds. And it means that when you're a Navi, you have to train your mind to perceive certain brain patterns and thoughts which other people can't perceive. Let me make that a little bit more clearer. It could be every one of us right now as getting a Nevuah. Could be, but we're not Nevi'im. What does it mean? We haven't trained ourselves, because we don't have the methods anymore, to realize what's going on within our mind. Not tuned properly. We're not focused. It's all a blurry picture. Now, it's probably not that way. Probably we're not getting a Nevuah either. But theoretically, it's possible that we're all getting Nevuah, so we just don't realize it. Okay? It's possible, because that's the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. So what a Navi here, so a Navi has to be able to sort out by meditation and by training his mind, to sort out, to take out all the scrambling and tune in on, lock in on the message. But where does Nevuah take place? Within your own mind. Oh, so what voice do you hear? You don't necessarily hear a divine voice. You hear your own mind talking to you. What's the thing you fear most in the world, the most awesome thing? Mora rabcha k'mora shechina. Right? So what's Shmuel going to, how's Shmuel first going to experience the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within himself? As the voice of Eli, his Rebbe. So he jumps up and thinks, oh, I hear the name Shmuel. It's in his mind. It must be his Rebbe. So therefore, he runs to Eli and says, here I am. Now the thing is, the Rashi brings down here that it was a pele. Rashi says here, in Pasuk Dal, the Kol Yatzameich HaShem, Yibes Kodesh Kodashim, the voice taka came from outside, from the Kodesh Kodashim, Shekara Shmuel, and called Shmuel, and so then he goes on to say, if you take a look on the next page, Rashi says, there it is. Kol Oni flows. Elia Kohen, Meshomer Yifnim. Eli was inside. Rashi learns that Eli was inside. He was sleeping closer. Okay, the Malbim learns not that way. The Malbim says when it said Mekomo, Eli Yoshochet Mekomo means he was outside. He wasn't inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi learns he was closer to the Beis HaMikdash. Ushmua Elevi, Meshomer Machut, Ushmua was outside. The Kofet HaKol Derech Eli Lushmua, and the voice jumped over Eli to Shmuel. That's how he said, learns it. Now, what does he mean by that? It means that although Nevuah takes place, the way I understand it, although it's not necessarily true as we see in the next pasuk, the way I understand it, since the Nevuah takes place within the mind of a Navi, so therefore I might think that other people are not privy to that Nevuah. But it's not true. The same Nevuah is an inspiration of Kodesh Baruch Hu which goes into every Navi's mind across the world, or many Navi. It's just that not every Navi, since it goes on within your own mind, the way Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan puts it is, your mind is the screen on which Nevuah takes place. So each Navi experiences that inspiration slightly differently. Understand what I'm saying? Each Navi, through its mind, experiences the same inspiration in a slightly different fashion, and that's his Nevuah. But every Navi can experience it. So therefore it's a Pele, it's a Chiddush here, that Eli didn't experience that Nevuah. That only Shmuel heard the Nevuah, not Eli. That's a big Chiddush. Okay? So that's why it was surprising, and as the Rabbah says and the others, Eli obviously was not attuned to the Nevuah is diminishing, the power of the Nevuah is diminished within Eli at this time. However, okay, says the going out to Pasuk, after Pasuk Vav, Shmuel went back. Vayosef Hashem kro od Shmuel. Shmuel, Kodesh Baruch Hu called to Shmuel again. Vayokum Shmuel, Shmuel got up. This time he didn't say Hineni, because he knew Eli was not in the room. The first time he jumped up, he said Hineni, because he thought Eli was in the room. This time he knew Eli was not there. But nonetheless, he thought maybe it was Eli after all. And he went to Eli, and he said, Hineni, here I am, because you called me. Vayom, he said, Lo karasi, bini, I didn't call you my son. Shuv shchav, go back and lie down. But here already, says Malbim, Eli felt something. He knew something was going on. The first time he didn't say bini, my son. This time he said bini. He wants Shmuel, the way the mom puts it is that he wants to encourage Shmuel, saying, my son, in a warm way. In other words, he sensed perhaps there's some Nevuah beginning here, and he doesn't want Shmuel to get upset or irritated or agonized because it's bad. We know a Navi can't be sad. He can't get a Nevuah when you have Agmas Nefesh. So he's trying to calm him down and say, don't worry, things are good. Go back, see what happens next. Okay. Shmuel, tell me, Yodas Hashem, but Shmuel didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu yet. The Tarmi Goli Lot Var Hashem, he had never been revealed to him the word of God. So he didn't know how Nevuah was going to be, how Nevuah to be experienced, and therefore these first two times he thought it was Eli. Vayosef Hashem Kol Shmuel Shlishi, Sayin HaKol Shmuel Shmuel Kodesh Baruch Hu Kol Shmuel the third time. Bashlishi said the third time. Vayokam, he got up. Vayelech Eli, went to Eli. Vayom, he said again, Hineni Ki Krasli, here I am because you called me. But you have an Eli, but Eli knew now. The first time could have been imagination. The second time could have been imagination, but not this time. It must be Ki Hashem Kori L'Naretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, before we go further, tonight we're going to have to stop here because it's late, but I want to tell you, here's where the Abarbanel is. The Malvin brings down the Abarbanel here. And the Abarbanel had a machlokas with the Rambam. The Rambam holds all nevuah is internal. It's within the mind. The Abarbanel holds that there are external nevuahs as well. That you can see a vision outside of you. A Navi sees things like a movie taking place in front of him. Or a voice which comes to him. And the mashal the Abarbanel brings is that the voice of Hashem, which Am Yisrael experienced at Har Sinai, was external. It came to them from the outside, like a voice. They heard it through their ears, not in their mind. I don't know how the Abarbanel knows this, but that's what Abarbanel says. What bothers the heck out of me is that Abarbanel says, V'hiskimu lezeh chachmei hanotzrim. This is a Ryan who says, you should know that I'm right and the Rambam is not, because the Christian scholars agree with me about this. Oh, I asked Rabbi, my colleague Rabbi Kivalevich, and he says the Abarbanel does that all the time. He brings riots from Christian scholars. And that's what he says here. Right, as I say, you know. And the Malvim explains here why it had to be that way. He has to say, he said, if for elaborate reasons, the Malvim said that this nevuah clearly was not an internal nevuah, it was an external nevuah. I'm not impressed with the riots, and they're coming to call me for Marav, so therefore I don't have to tell them to you anyway. But he, that's what Itaka wants to say, that that it like the Abarbanel, I don't believe it. I think the Rambam is right. Any nevuah takes place internally. I'm even willing to say Har Sinai took place internally. If it didn't, could be that that nevuah is different. That nevuah for those two, Aseres Hadibros, Anochi, and Lo Yeh Lecha, all Klaitz will experience the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the outside, like Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, because that talk was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Hashem. That's when we say, Ponim El Ponim. That means that he heard Hashem speaking to him as a real voice, not internally, but an external conversation between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a Navi doesn't believe that, like the Abarbanel. I think the Rambam is correct. That any time a Navi experiences the voice of God, it's internal, not external. In place within him. Okay? So now we'll see in 2 weeks, because next week we don't have Shir, we'll see how Shmuel responds to the first Nevuah, how the first Nevuah takes place in Shmuel.